You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 50, titled Series and Sequels. I am your host for this KoopaCast, Matt. I am the multimedia manager here at PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by three other people this week, and two of them are a very rare treat. I'm going to start with the most common, but you know he's always welcome, James.
Hi, I'm James.
And then, hi, James.
Hi, James.
Hi, everybody.
He is the editor-in-chief of Pure Nintendo and PNM. I'm also joined by Alex Schramke.
Close enough, Schramke.
Ah! I double-guessed myself. I second-guessed myself.
I feel like I should do the Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody!
Hi, Dr. Hi. Nick.
He is a writer for PNM and Pure Nintendo. And then finally, we have Tristan Maiman.
Close. Maiman.
No, you told me Maiman last time.
Pretty sure it's Maiman.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember my name 25 years.
All right, fine. But
you've been trolled.
It's because I haven't seen you guys in so long. I don't know how it goes.
I missed you too, Matt. It's okay. Bring it in. Bring it in.
Stay tuned, everyone, while we have a moment. We'll be right back. Okay, now that moment's passed, we're going to talk about series and sequels. As you may have guessed by the title, or maybe if you looked online at purenintendo.com, you can see the description of this KoopaCast. We're going to be talking about how we each tackle games that are part of a large series, or maybe even direct and indirect sequels to certain games. The only reason I came up with this, as you can see behind me, this is the opening sequence of Bayonetta 2. When I was assigned to review that, I never played Bayonetta 1. So when I got the code from Nintendo, they sent Bayonetta 1 and 2, and I had 5 days to get the whole thing out.
Dang.
I needed context for Bayonetta 2. I decided I needed that context. Otherwise, I'd have no idea what to judge this on, because my methodology is to judge a direct sequel of its predecessors. So I spent 2 days on Bayonetta 2. Review. And got the review out. But then, even worse, I had to go review Bayonetta 1 after that. After the Bayonetta 2 review was out, that was a challenge, because it's like, I mean, how do you review Bayonetta 1 when you've already, like, when you've already reviewed the game, which in your review you said is superior to Bayonetta 1? So that's very challenge for me. And so, you know, that got my head, you know, they got the figured, hey, let's see what the other members of PureNintendo.com think about this kind of thing. So, who wants to start?
I guess I'll go first. I guess my biggest experience was probably with reviewing Yoshi's New Island. And boy, did that game have some controversy when it came out. So many people gave it crappy reviews because they said it wasn't just like the original. And when I got my copy of the game, I decided that I would judge it a little bit based off the first one, but also look at it as its own standalone game. Really, I just thought the first game should just be like a point of reference to see what they improved on, what they didn't improve on, and just let the game kind of stand on its own after that. So my review ended up being higher than most people, and I think everybody was pretty happy with that. I kind of judged it as its own standalone thing ultimately. So.
I think that's a fair point when it comes to reviewing a sequel of a very popular series, or just maybe a new coming series, is taking the nostalgia glasses off for a bit and just kind of viewing it as its own standalone title. I think the thing with gamers today, especially maybe even the past, is that we don't like change when it comes to our favorite titles. A lot of gamers don't like the fact that if something was, something that they loved before is suddenly not what they have now. I mean, when you look at old sequels like Super Mario Bros. 2, the version we got in the US, and Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, no longer did we have what we enjoyed so much in the first titles. Now we have something completely different. But when you if you were to view them as their own standalone games, your perception of it changes. It goes from, okay, when I try when I don't compare it to the first title, I actually have a really enjoyable time. So it's kind of like a little mixture of things. You have to judge it as its own game, but at the same time, you hope to see some familiar elements from its predecessor. Not the exact same, but at least some familiarity.
Yeah, like it's good to look back at the previous installments when you're reviewing, but that comparison between the two shouldn't be the be all end all for your review.
Exactly.
Right. I kind of think that only to a certain point. In a series, I would probably actually look at it. It depends on what, like, how the developers have created the game. Tristan, you mentioned Zelda and Zelda 2, like the first two, the NES titles, right? And how they're two completely different experiences.
Absolutely.
When I would look at that, I would judge them as like A, being a part of a series, but also notice that they are two completely different experiences. So I would be able to judge them not for like in the relationship to each other, aside from publisher, developer, and the names and of the characters in the game. And so I can review it that way. And but like a game with like similar mechanics and came out like a similar way, like for example, Super Mario 3 and then Super Mario World. Or no, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's do Super Mario 1 and Super Mario Brothers 3, both on the NES, because I want to keep it in the same, generation for
Right.
this example. In that case, I'm going to be looking at stuff like what did they improve in the mechanics? How is Mario's handling? Is he, is he less like muddy? Is he more? Can he snap back and forth a little bit faster? Are the controls a little bit more responsive? What do they add to the experience to like build upon the previous experience that we've already known? So I kind of look at it like that.
That's definitely a fair way to look at it. I think also when it comes to sequels, I guess one thing that also has to come into consideration, especially let's say all the way back then to, Zelda and Mario, and why not throw Castlevania in there? All their second games, their sequels, completely different, but in a way that was a healthy thing. That was a good thing at that time for the franchise being so young to try take a new bold step to try something completely different to see, okay, well maybe we can take the franchise into this direction. And they gave it a shot, and well, is it sometimes it worked, and then sometimes it absolutely didn't. But we do see those familiar concepts still in future games. Like Castlevania 2 is very much more RPG like, and then we see things like that again in future titles, to the point where it becomes practically an RPG with experience points leveling up and the such.
Right, and but then that's just like that's a build over the series too.
Right.
And like all of a sudden we're leveling up. It's just like it was slowly like okay, we're gonna add this one mechanic, we're gonna add this one mechanic, and then it just kind of built up from there.
Right.
But yeah, I can definitely see your point on that.
Yeah, I think people just need to not freak out when a game is completely not like its predecessor. I mean, for example, I'm sure you guys have probably seen on Twitter a lot of the new Sonic Boom game. I'm slated to do the review for it. I haven't, haven't got the review copy yet, but apparently everyone's not liking it just in general, and I wouldn't be surprised if a good portion of it is the gameplay, because the gameplay goes from the traditional Sonic of, fast-paced running, act, for the, zone one, zone two, and all that, or act one, act two,└ And we begin now as more adventure platforming aspect to the point where they're even fighting and using combos and such. A lot of people don't like that, but the thing is, I think we as gamers need to take a healthier, better approach to it and more open-minded. Treating it like a fresh new experience, as Alex was saying.
Exactly. I saw a lot of people. I was looking up videos for it because I was kind of curious of how the game was going to play out. I haven't looked too much into it. And I was really surprised at how many people were kind of lashing out at it for being different. And I was like, well, why is it such a bad thing for that series to try something? We've been complaining about the past Sonic games being really crummy, terrible experiences. You know, if a formula is not working, then you experiment, you change it, you try to do
Absolutely.
something new.
I mean, they even made a Sonic turn-based RPG. I mean,
Wait,
they
really? When?
what was it called? Sonic Dark Brotherhood or something like that? Sonic, or was this called Sonic Chronicles Dark Brotherhood? It was for the DS. It was by BioWare, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Look it up, man.
Yeah, I
Look
think
it
I
up.
will, because I think you're making this up.
No, look it up. Look it up right now.
I remember seeing it, but I never played it.
I never played it either, mainly because it was a RPG, but I should have been more open-minded to it because my favorite video game of all time is Super Mario RPG. And I mean, if you want to talk about a game that takes a famous IP in gaming and throws it into a completely different genre, that's a game right there. They experimented and it is received critical acclaim because of it. I think
Right.
it's proof right there that any franchise can take a different turn on their own typical genre.
You're totally right. I just looked it up.
Wait. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. I think I lagged out a little. Could you say that one more time?
I said I just looked it up. It's called Sonic Chronicles and the
No,
Dark Brotherhood. It was a BioWare game, but I've
not that
never heard
part.
about that.
That part before that.
I said, Tristan.
Yes.
No,
I think you
I
said.
said, Tristan, I found the game.
I'm pretty sure I heard you're totally right in there. Could I get that one more time?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's
We
happened.
got video evidence. Don't worry
Yeah,
about it.
really. I'm just gonna go back and like make a loop of you just saying, "Wow, Tristan, you're totally right, and you're so cool. Can I be your best friend?" And I go, "Oh, Matt, you
Too
must see the line from my
make
other."
sure that's ringtone from there on out.
Oh, that would be
Exactly.
great.
Do you really want to fight me in a video editing and audio editing battle? Tristan,
No.
is that the path you really want to go down?
Oh man, shots
I'd
fired.
rather not.
Yeah, okay then.
All right, so we'll call it a draw.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, even though I totally got the better of the draw. So moving on, though.
James, you've been kind of quiet for a while. I'm guessing you're contemplating something really deep to
Yeah.
talk to us about series and sequels.
Well, I guess I got a different perspective than you guys do, coming
Does it take
from
two?
someone who. It's funny, like Justin and I have had many conversations about reviews behind you guys' backs. No, but I
Yes.
mean, like we discuss like who, like we'll have like, okay, we have these reviews, who's gonna do them? And so we'll spit back and forth and be like, well, this person has experience with this genre. This person hates RPG, so maybe we shouldn't give them an RPG game type of thing. So we have that conversation when we, even though you guys ask for review games, if you guys ask for it and you guys don't like RPGs, we'll still give it to you. But if you guys don't ask for them, we're not going to sign anything. We know that you guys may not really like. But on the flip side, we've actually like Zelda's a perfect example. Like Tristan was a good person to do Wind Waker because he has experience with the Zelda game titles, all the Zelda titles. And in my mind, you really can't re you can review a Zelda game if you don't have experience, but to get a best review, you need experience in Zelda titles. You can't just throw someone in there. Same thing with Smash. The reason I took, well, a lot of us have a lot of experience with Smash, but there's some of us that don't. So there's some of us that probably shouldn't review. It'd be cool to have that perspective. It's better to have someone who has experience in Smash Brothers to review Smash Brothers.
That makes sense.
So it is, I guess there's a fine line. You can do it both ways. And we've also had the conversation where we were a little bit reluctant to give it to someone because we knew they were very big fans of the series, and they made out it may be different, and they may end up hating the game just because it's different, even though it's still a good game. So there is that give and take, and I guess, what was looking for.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that all makes makes perfect sense. In terms of, and I also want to watch out if someone was a diehard, you know, fan, is that you'd almost want to deter them away from giving them the review because you know it's going to be probably biased and they're automatically going to give it a 10 or something for obvious reasons.
Exactly. Or if we know that a game is different than the originals, they may end up hating it because they love the originals and they may hate the new version.
Right. And that all makes perfect sense. It also, it really does depend on the reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think also for our lovely viewers out there, they are just, the reviews, they are just our opinions of the game. You know, like I've actually, when I did the retro review of Adventure of Link, you know, Zelda 2, man, we're talking about that a lot. I actually, you know, I was just making an idle chit chat with someone and I made a mention how I gave that game, I think, was it a 6? Or a 7, I think, or a 6.5, I think. But I pretty much said, it's is it a good Zelda game? No, but it's not a horrible game. But to me, it's not my favorite Zelda game at all. But the person I was chatting with, they even openly mentioned that for them, was their absolute favorite Zelda game. When they think of Zelda, they think of that game. That's the first one they grab. So yeah, it's just all a matter of perspective.
I don't know about you guys, but I was stating nothing but facts in my Bayonetta review. I sat down with Kamiya, and we talked it out. We both wrote the review together, and that's how I got a 9.5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, sorry, guys. I forgot to mention that point.
Yeah.
And they also slipped him a 50.
He managed to talk with Miyamoto for, like, so many.
Oh, how they laughed and had such jovial times.
It was good. And then we started blocking people on Twitter.
Yep. Starting flame wars left and right.
I guess a good question would be Smash, because how would you review Smash? Like, would you do it as a standalone title, or would you have to compare it to all the other Smashes?
I think you would have to compare it, and especially when it comes to online play, because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, weren't you hyped for Brawl and its online capabilities?
Yeah, exactly. And it was horrible.
And didn't it feel like someone gave you a delicious sandwich and then farted in it and then and that was the online capabilities of it? It was a fart sandwich.
It's an interesting analogy.
That's the only analogy I could think of right now. Just of sheer disappointment.
What about like an ice cream sandwich, but then they take out the ice cream part?
So you're left
with not satisfying. It's less gross too.
Yeah, really. But I think with Smash Brothers, you do have to kind of go back a bit and compare it. I mean, we did it for Melee. I mean, when Brawl came out, I think, you know, we were happy at first, but then when we started thinking more about Melee, we were like, oh man, that was the better one, or, you know, some of us. So I think with Smash Brothers, you kind of do have to compare. I mean, like, yeah, you do, I think, or it's kind of half and half. You treat it, yeah, it's a new game, but it's also the same similar formula from all the other previous titles with just new characters, new items, new stages, and a few new things here and there.
Mm-hmm. I think with Smash, it's when they make Smash, it's almost like it's a different goal than, say, like a direct sequel that may want to build on the franchise but also experiment. With the Smash games, it's like that's their goal, is to top the previous one. So you know the mechanics are going to be pretty similar. They might add something. Like Brawl had the tripping mechanics.
Ooh.
We didn't like those. You know, there will be little things like that, but you have to compare it because that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to take what we already know and love, try to balance it and make it better. So like that's the goal of the game, is to try to top the previous installment, make it bigger, more expansive, more things to do, more things to collect. So I think in that case, you do have to compare them directly.
And I think what's interesting with games like Smash is that they're once in a generational game. So the pressure is really on to these developers that they not only have to improve in the game, improve the previous title, but they have to do it with maybe even more raised expectations, because we're in like another generation now. This isn't the Wii, this is the Wii U. So maybe people are expecting much more out of it. One example was the online capabilities, but, you know, of course there might be other things that people are looking at that, say, maybe if, you know, Smash 4 was on the Wii again, they wouldn't be looking for it necessarily.
See, I have a question for you guys. I want to know how you would handle how you handle spin-off games.
Like Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah. Like, how do you tackle something like that, that it uses a character from a popular series, but the gameplay isn't necessarily always based on that franchise?
Well, I kind of looked at it, because the first question I asked myself with Hyrule Warriors was, you know, what kind of game is this? Is this a Legend of Zelda title, or is it going to be a Dynasty Warriors title? And luckily, those two genres are very distinct from each other, so you're going to be able to very quickly tell which one's which. With Hyrule Warriors, it became, you know, quickly apparent that this is going to be closer to a Warriors game than a Zelda game. So I kind of started judging it from, like, more of a Warriors perspective. You know, how did, you know, Hyrule Warriors build off of, you know, the Warriors' mechanics? Did they improve on some things? And, you know, I looked at that. But then, of course, I went back to the other thing. I'm saying, well, this is also, you know, sort of a Zelda title, a pseudo-Zelda title, I guess. People who are interested in The Legend of Zelda are going to be wanting to kind of pick up Hyrule Warriors. So what do they not know about Hyrule Warriors, but they know about Zelda that, you know, would entice them to buy this game? And does it work? And does it balance out?
Okay.
Yeah, well, just to, I guess, segue back to my statement is, Matt was a good example of a decision to have him review the game for his experience of Warriors. Because we knew he had that experience of Warriors. We can't really give the game to someone like, I never played Warriors. I would love to review Hyrule Warriors, but I never played Warriors, so I wasn't the right person. That's why that is an example of Matt right there, of someone, of, I guess, finding the right person to review the right game, in a sense, that has the experience that would know how to review it and what to pull out. And Matt did a good job on it.
Thank you.
That's a warrior already.
Yeah.
And I review the DLC, and probably the next, whenever that comes out.
That makes perfect sense, too, about giving you the copy of the Hyrule Warriors, because, you know, as much as I love Zelda, I never played a Dynasty Warriors game. I knew the concept, but I never played one.
Exactly, me too. Like, I'm not really into those type of games, actually, to be honest with you, so it would
have been different. I'd only played the old ones on PlayStation 2, so I wouldn't know, like, what the newer iterations were like.
I have a feeling that if I were to go back and play the old Dynasty Warriors, I'd be sorely disappointed, mainly for the fact that Zelda characters are not in it. Like, that was the biggest appeal to Hyrule Warriors for me, was the fact that it was set in the Zelda universe. But for some reason, I think because it was a spin-off title, I was excited for it, but I wasn't overly hyped about it. Yeah, I knew it was coming. I was like, hey, yeah, cool, another Zelda spin-off title. Now, but if it was like another Zelda title coming out, like... let's say, like Zelda Wii U, when that's coming out, that's going to drive me, because I'm going to be waiting, you know, I'll be counting the days away until that game comes out, because I know it's going to be a core part in the Zelda franchise.
Oh, that's something good to talk about right now, is Zelda 2015. I don't know who's going to review that, but, you know, I'm calling dibs right now, dibs.
So we're gonna have to arm wrestle.
I'm sorry, who was the Zelda master, as James obviously said?
Settle it and smash.
Actually, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll settle this by writing, see who can write the most articles about Zelda franchise before the movie comes out.
What is this, the school county writing contest? Look, winners get the article in the paper.
This is a contest that will benefit our readers. I'm looking out for you people, the readers. Remember that.
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool to have a settle it and smash tournament for the chance to review the game and then record it.
Yeah, and then you can only play as characters from Zelda.
I could totally do that.
Oh, how about who can get through those Tingle DS games with their sanity still intact?
I think Alex can.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
Alex can. I think Alex is the only one. God, I think Alex.
You just handed us the review there.
Well, but, I guess Alex is reviewing it.
But what I was actually going to say originally was that the Zelda 2015 is actually an interesting case, because that's going to be the core Zelda title that comes right after Skyward Sword, which was it kind of like the opposite of Wind Waker, which when it came out, everybody thought it was like the most amazing thing. And as time went on, you know, more flaws came out, and now Skyward Sword's like one of the lower Zelda titles in the core series, I think. So I think it'll be interesting to see how people look at this newest Zelda title. Are they gonna like start drawing comparisons with Skyward Sword? Are they gonna do Wind Waker because Wind Waker HD? You know, how's it gonna, you know, how's that gonna look? I don't know. What do you
think the
that when you pick up Zelda 2015? Like, you know, this is of course after all the hype has worn off and you stop jumping up and down because the next core Zelda's come out.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
You sit down and you know, you place your hand on your chin like this, and you have, you know, your other hand's got the pen and you're writing. You're trying to, you know, you're picking out notes. Like, do you feel like you're gonna be influenced more or less from Skyward Sword?
I kind of treat it like a Final Fantasy game. Like, each Zelda game is like a Final Fantasy title to me. As in, it's its own new thing. It barely connects to the past one. The only thing it really connects with it is, oh, there's a Link, there's a Zelda, there's a Ganon. Like, those are really the only biggest staples. Other than that, I treat it as a brand new adventure.
Yeah, I mean, with a game like that, we already know that the mechanics of getting the item and exploring, it works, it's going to be fun, but you have to look at it as, like, what's it going to set out to do? This one's going to try to, you know, be more free-roaming, more open, and you have to look at it that way. Did it succeed in what it wanted to do, and does it still fit within the Zelda universe? And I think that's how you're going to have to look at that game when it comes out.
Yeah. Aptly named The Legend of Zelda, Skyrim Sword.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, which is, just for example, when it comes to an actual rating scale, 1 to 5, Wind Waker is possibly my favorite Zelda title. What happens if I give that a 9.5? But to me, Ocarina of Time may be technically better. But Wind Waker is my favorite. How should I rate Ocarina of Time?
That's a tough question.
2 out of 10. Ooh. Next question.
What is 3D? Don't get it. No stars.
And like, is it fair to rate series of games like all the Zelda series within that scale of I thought such and such game was better, so this game can't be that high type of way?
I feel like that would be an issue that has more to do with the scoring system that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Than it would be in a series, because like, if we went by like trying to do a scoring system, then like there's more Zeldas than there are like solid number of scores. So are you gonna get down to like, is like 6 or 5 gonna be the lowest Zelda, even though all the Zeldas are, you know, not terrible?
Well, I mean, like, review wise, like I've never reviewed a Zelda. Tristan reviewed Wind Waker. Unless someone's reviewed every single Zelda game, then that could be an issue. I'm talking about like someone who's only reviewed like 2 Zelda games, and the third one comes out.
Right.
And the third one, they don't think it's quite as good, which is to use Wind Waker, Ocarina of Time, and the new Zelda. They say the new Zelda is not as good as Wind Waker, but better than Ocarina of Time. How could they rate all 3 of those? Should they do them in order of greatest to good, or just the overall game as the game?
I think each one does something different, so you have to weigh between the 3 games which one accomplished its goal better. Like, Ocarina of Time was just to take the Legend of Zelda universe and make it work in a 3D environment, tell a cohesive story, and have, you know, the centralized combat. And that worked really well. And there's so much nostalgia behind it that I think people bump up the score higher than it should. What did Wind Waker do? It already had the battle mechanics and improved on them with the parries, but it really focused on exploration in the Great Sea and going to the different islands and experimenting with that art style. So did it succeed in that sense, and did it surpass what Ocarina of Time tried to do? it's really difficult to kind of to compare it that way, but I think that's the way I'd have to do it, is like which one out of the three did what it was supposed to do the best.
It is really hard to compare Zelda games, because my favorite's Majora's Mask, which I felt like, kind of like you were saying, I think it took a lot of things from Ocarina of Time and really improved upon it and really gave us a world to care about and a world that we wanted to save as fast as we possibly could. But then, yeah, Wind Waker gave us a whole new world to explore, a different character, a Link with more personality, who gets thrown into a situation where it goes from as simple as, I'm going to save my sister, to, oh, wait, turns out I'm the actual chosen hero. How about that?
Spoiler.
Spoiler if you guys haven't played Wind Waker, which has been out since 2000-something, since I was in middle school.
2003?
There's a lot of youngins that haven't played it.
I wanted to say 3, but I'm like second to myself.
Oh, okay. Well, youngins, spoiler alert. Turns out Link is actually the hero of the game.
It's not Zelda?
So, what, you mean the guy in Zelda? I even hate using that word, judge. You have to review Zelda games as each of them comes with its own different style and different way to approach what makes a Zelda game indeed a Zelda game. Whether it is by more puzzles, whether they be easy or hard, more immersive world, a lot of character growth with Link, things like that. Because, Twilight Princess took a more of a slightly darker side with its art style and with its characters, but then you see a lot more, like, a bond of partnership with, like, Link and Midna or something like that, and you really didn't get that so much in maybe some other previous Zelda games. Because, honestly, guys, I'm sorry, Navi, I wasn't really that close with Navi.
Well, did you pick up Hyrule Warriors? Because I know you'll enjoy Proxy then.
No, I bet, oh yeah, I know all about Proxy. I know all about Proxy.
Proxy's way worse.
Yeah.
I guess, and to play, I guess, devil's advocate again, like, is enjoyment go into your reviews?
Does what?
Enjoyment of the game go into reviews.
I sure hope so.
Like, well, for example, again, is to use my Zelda analogy. Wind Waker I enjoyed more than Ocarina of Time, but then Ocarina of Time's a better game.
I could debate you on that one.
Well, yeah. Well, everyone can, but I mean, that's just for me. And so, how should I rate them would be my question. The one that I enjoyed more should be higher, or the one that I thought was just technically better?
Enjoyment to me. Because if you're enjoying the game, you're going to be wanting to play it longer. I hate playing, because I played games before where I'm dragging through them. I'm just, I really don't care to finish this game, but I'm doing it just for this, because I've come too far and I might as well get it out of the way.
I think that enjoyment should be a factor, but it should be taken with a grain of salt when doing the review.
Right. Because everyone has their own different perception of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Alex looks like that person that loves just not using the speed sail on Wind Waker and just coasting through the water, taking hours and hours on
it's
hours.
It's funny that you mentioned that. When the game first came out, that was when I first moved up to North Georgia. And I'd never moved before in my life, and I was kind of an introverted person, so it took me a while to make friends. So I totally did that. I spent hours in Wind Waker just filling out the map, and I loved it. I had so much fun staying up late doing that. So I have really fond memories of that.
Yeah. Filling out that map is actually really rewarding when you think about it, once you actually start making the whole thing complete.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, enjoyment is it's just how different people look at it. Some people might actually enjoy doing the Triforce quest in Wind Waker. Again, spoiler, there's the Triforce in the Wind Waker in a Zelda game. Sorry. And but yeah, some people actually, that might be their favorite part.
I guess the argument could be maybe, like, isn't that the point of video games, is to enjoy them?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I play them.
Yeah, so...
And another thing that I think about it too is, while it's good to look back on sequels, you also have to take into account that not everybody has played or followed the sequels all the time, so you can't always use that. Like, you have to include something in there for the people who are first coming into it. Like, perfect example is, as we were talking about Ocarina of Time, we've all, like, grew up and played that, and we loved it. But someone like my little brother never experienced the game until it came out on the 3DS, which made me feel like I was a failure as a little brother. I should have made him play that. But like, it really surprised me because I thought he had played it because we had an N64 in the house. Shared the same bedroom for a little while until we got a bigger house. And so it was always there. And I thought he would have played it. It really surprised me. So I guess you have to take that into account when reviewing a game like that, that not everybody has that point of reference that you do.
True.
And you should include something in there to say, if you're new to the series, this is what you're going to enjoy. This is what you're not. Or I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at.
It's funny you're mentioning about previous Zelda games is because I've been playing Link to the Past recently. And as I'm playing it, I even ask myself, I go, what do I like more? Do I like this or Ocarina of Time? And between the two, it might be Ocarina of Time simply for the nostalgic reason of it was my first Zelda game that I've ever beaten. And then, but Link to the Past is still at a tie with it because after I beat Ocarina of Time, I went back to Link to the Past to complete that one. So they're really at a, it's almost, yeah, that's where nostalgic kicks in too. It's like, you might like that one because it was the first one you accomplished, or it was the, you know, it was the one that really drew you in to the franchise, because that was the one that did that for me.
I have a secret about A Link to the Past that would probably be a very unpopular opinion. I played the crap out of it, and it's the most polished and wonderful 2D Zelda out there. I'll concede that, but I think graphically, it's one of the most bland Zeldas. Almost most of the dungeons look very, very similar to me, and I find myself like getting bored when I play through it again. It's like, oh, everything looks the same. There's no personality to a lot of the dungeons. There are a few, granted, that have a lot of personality and that are fun to explore. But you have to admit, there are also quite a few that kind of feel the same-ish.
I can see that for like the first three dungeons, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I don't know. I feel like I could pick out each of those dungeons if you showed me a screenshot.
I think you're fired, Alex. That's what I think.
Oh.
Actually, what it sounds like to me is, it sounds like we're eventually going to have a podcast where we just sit here and just debate which is the best Zelda, because that seems like where we keep trying to put it.
That's a good topic, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a big topic. And then on the next one after that, best Mario game.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Super Mario 3 or Super Mario World?
And after that, we all just get into a big fist fight.
Yeah, really.
That's just the escalation that I'm just, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's definitely tough. You were talking about like, Janice, you were talking about like, where's Ocarina of Time like fit into everything? And for me, it's like, I don't think I can go back and give Ocarina of Time a score anymore. Like, just based on everything that's happened now. Because then I'll just be looking at Ocarina of Time based on everything else, even though that's not really fair for Ocarina of Time. Like, if you look at it, Ocarina of Time is the first 3D game, and what you get is once you leave Kokiri, you get a big empty field, and there was nothing to do in the field. You can cut down some stuff. There's a few holes here and there, but you have to travel to the ends of the map, and there's like maybe five hubs everywhere else. And there's not much to do. There's just one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. So if you look at it this way, then like Ocarina of Time is not a very good Zelda game compared to all the other ones. But then again, all the other ones refined upon it so much, so I can't judge Ocarina of Time anymore.
That's fair. Yeah, going back and playing Ocarina of Time, the Z targeting is also kind of icky.
My boy. But you couldn't do the double touch block those. In any of them.
You didn't have a magic pouch.
Yeah. And, I mean, Tristan mentioned that like Majora's Mask is like one of his favorite Legend of Zelda titles, and I agree with it. It's like it's one of my favorite Legend of Zelda titles too.
Mm.
I feel like Majora's Mask, if I just did the sequel comparison like we've been talking about, then Majora's Mask is definitely a superior game, in which you have the same size map, but there's much more to do because they kind of condensed everything down and everything's quickly accessible. You're not traveling like 5 minutes by horse to get to the next area. You know, you're traveling like 2 minutes, and that's totally fine. I don't know where else to go from there. I feel like there's a lot more to do in Majora's than there was in Ocarina, and that's why Majora's definitely the better title.
Yep.
And we're getting into the Zelda debate again.
Can we all just say our top three Zelda games and be over with?
That's hard, though.
Do we do it, or should we wait until we get like our own KoopaCast for it?
I would have to think about it, to be honest with you. I know what my number one would be, but I would need to think about
Wand of Gamelon, The Faces of Evil.
Adventure, man.
Yeah, it's always Adventure.
Don't worry, guys. I can mute him if you want.
The Unholy Triforce.
But I don't know. Does anybody else have anything to add to this discussion of like you know how to treat sequels or games in the series?
I think we covered it pretty good, to be honest with you.
I have a question for you, Matt. You didn't review Bayonetta 1. You didn't have time.
I did.
What'd you think before? No, before you did 2.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I got Bayonetta 1 out a week after Bayonetta 2.
Would it have changed anything, your perspective of Bayonetta 2?
Luckily not. That's what I was worried about when I was finishing Bayo 1. I got actually a good way into Bayo 1, luckily, because, like I said, my schedule was like, okay, I have to start with Bayo 1 so I can know what the basic mechanics are and see what Bayo 2 improved upon that. I got 3/4 of the way through Bayo 1. And then I went on to Bayo 2, and then I felt like I was able to judge pretty well on that. Bayo 1 kind of followed a pattern I expected it to, and so I kind of felt like I made the right decision. Even if I beat Bayo 1 all the way through, then I would have been fine. I think the only thing I was missing was like maybe a couple of plot elements, which, you know, I finally figured out. Bayo 1 doesn't really have a lot of plot elements anyway, so. Just one big one, and I'm not going to spoil because Bayo 2 just came out, what, 3 weeks ago?
About two, maybe, I think. Three. Yeah, about three.
3 weeks ago?
I still need to pick it up. It looks like fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I played the demo, and I was pretty happy and pleasantly pleased by it for a hack and slash.
Strangely, that demo didn't do it the proper way. I mean, it was a good demonstration, but there's so much more to that game than that demo led on.
Nice. I think it was the same demo I actually played at E3 a year ago.
Yeah, it was the same demo, because I remember seeing that and, like, this is the same thing. I was like, I was really disappointed about that.
Yeah, Nintendo really needs to release more demos for games.
They're getting better about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway. Is that everything, everybody?
Like I said, my
thanks.
Unless right. James wants to keep playing Devil's Advocate, which is pretty much, I think, his 24/7 job.
He's just a Jeff Devil on our shoulder.
Well, let's give him a cat and an eye patch to wear, and he'll just
spin around in my chair the whole time.
Yes, man.
Anyway, if that's everything, I want to thank you all for joining me for the KoopaCast, both my panelists. James, Tristan, and Alex, thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
And, always fun.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to this week's KoopaCast. If you have any questions for us, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. If you go to purenintendo.com, you can find our various Twitter accounts under our staff page. We always like talking with followers. Again, thank you very much. If you have any questions you'd like for next week's KoopaCast, you can always email, like I said, podcast@purenintendo.com, or you can always ask me on Twitter using the hashtag KoopaCast. Until 2 weeks from now, we will see you later.
Adios. Bye.